Greetings, this is James Gillen. I'm your host. I've got a couple announcements before we start this show. I wanted to let people know about the Transformation Celebration, and that's Friday, June 28th through Monday, July 1st. And we're going to have Neil Kramer, Spencer Barkley, Laura Eisenhower, Joel Garbin, and Atasha, James Gillen, I know that guy, and Mark Peebler, and Victoria Lindquist. And we're going to have special music with Anahata, Sacred Sound Current, Bitterroot, and Star Nation. So come and explore ancient and modern spirituality, group mandala yoga, natural phenomenon, philosophy, sovereign law, free energy technology, UFOs, Native American wisdom, traditions, energetic healing, and more. So be enriched, inspired, and energized as you share in a wide spectrum of fascinating knowledge with pioneers of new thought, new technology, and spiritual wisdom. But anyway, that's coming up. So remember, it's June 28th to July 1st, and it's our big conference, and we always have major ships coming over. And John Kelly is actually one of our speakers at the conference, and so we want to bring him on the show. So, John, are you with us? Looks like we're still trying to get John Kelly on the show. I'm going to go ahead, and we're having trouble picking John up. I think he keeps dropping off, but we'll see what happens here. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what's been happening up here. Last night was the most phenomenal sky watch I've seen in a while. We had one big ship after another come in just and then power up and do amazing displays with other ones zipping around, you know, coming from every direction, just coming at different speeds, doing their side slipping moves and, you know, all kinds of crazy things going on. So it was pretty amazing last night. And on top of that, we were blessed with the Aurora Borealis. And I think we might have that again tonight. So we had an amazing group here at a wonderful campfire and went out and did a sky watch and brought out the night vision goggles and the infrared spotlight. Got to watch the orbs flying around the field in real time. And it was quite an evening. You know, a lot of real high energy. And a lot of people had their minds blown here, as usual. So speaking of blowing minds, I'm hoping we got John on the show. John, are you with us yet?
Hey, James, can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Great.
Thank you very much. Sorry to be late in joining you. Great to be here with you again.
Oh, it's perfect timing as always. I had a few announcements I had to make. But, hey, great to have you on the show. You know what? I wish you were here last night because you've got the best equipment, you know, for filming these UFOs, and it was just crazy last night. There were so many ships, and they were giving us the high five, you know, and doing the dazzle duty and you know, supporting all the work being done here. It was a real, you know, heart-opening moment for a lot of people to actually see them firsthand.
I read about that in your news group, James, and I was excited to hear all this energy kicking in, you know, pre-summer. It tells me there's is going to be an intense year for sightings. This, you know, this report and my own sense about being at the ranch. Year after year, during my time visiting there, so many mind-expanding experiences took place related to sightings, contacts, close encounters, interactions. You know, the energies of the people on the ground and the beings up in the sky and coming in close around us. All of it was profound and memorable. And so when I hear you report, in some ways, I'm going, yeah, you know, they're back, and we're going to be back together again, you know, sharing those experiences. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I know we've got a couple encounters coming up here. I know we've got some news crews and some TV crews coming up that we'll be doing some joint work, I hope. I don't know if that's been nailed down yet, but and we've also got the conference where you'll be actually sharing some of your technology for capturing, you know, these ships on video.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the facets of exploring the UFO and ET contact phenomena relates to getting involved with some night vision equipment, because, of course, night vision expands the range of our senses. It allows us to, in a physical way, to see the unseen. You know, just before we start to talk about people's inner powers, you know, of clairvoyance and intuition, an instrument like a night vision device allows people to see beyond the visible spectrum of light into longer wavelengths that are not normally visible to the human eye. And with this instrumentation, we start to enter into a sort of an archetype or a symbolic world where we are seeing the unseen or the hidden. You know, when people talk about the idea of the occult, like in terms of the idea of occult powers. Occult means hidden, something that is not normally seen. So to see beyond the obvious, you know, requires a powerful mind. But an instrument, in this case, a night vision device, can be an aid to that kind of self-empowerment or self-awakening. James, your story of contact is rich with interdimensional facets, including telepathic contact, dreams and visions. And for other people who may just be on the horizon of awakening to those kinds of experiences, using a piece of equipment like a night vision device is symbolically, it's sort of like having a third eye, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting too, you know, for those who like validation, I told a story a little while ago. It's very interesting. We had the big yak breakout, and every on the full moon, it's really weird. Now we're just on it. We're like watching them 24/7 on the full moon to make sure they don't do it again. They broke out, and the first time they broke out, we didn't know where they were. We couldn't find them at all, and so we got down and we tapped into the star nations. You know, our friends on high. They told us exactly where they were, and they even told us the herd split and where the other ones were and where the missing one was. And we went right to those locations, and there they were standing there, you know, and brought them back. And then they broke out again the second time, nowhere to be found. And they gave us detailed information exactly where they would be. And we got in the car and drove over there, and it's right exactly where they were, you know, so... Mm. And these are in totally different places. It's pretty interesting watching how this information is validated. And then on top of that, I think one of the best ones was Mel Fabregas, when he came here, sat in on a session where we had contact and were communing with the higher dimensional beings. And, you know, he found out who his guide was and who was working with him, and you know, a lot of high fives on the work he's doing. You know, they're very much inspiring it. And then he went to another place, I believe it was in Sedona, Arizona, to another group. And a woman there turned around. She said, "Hey, there's this being here, you know, trying to connect with you, with the Orion Council of Light," and gave him the name of her. And she said, you met her at the East SETI Stargate," which just blew his mind, you know.
Yeah.
Totally, I still don't even know who these people are. I don't, you know, he hasn't told me, but I'd like to connect with him. So it's amazing when you get these validations, you know, on top of that, having the triple PhD Boeing engineers and Lockheed engineers, Skunk Works people, and Air Force base commanders, and air traffic controllers, pilots, all the people that have been up here and have seen these ships, you know, have gone on record. You know, I'm wondering, you know, which is kind of a segue into the disclosure project. I'm wondering when people are going to realize this has already been disclosed, you know?
Our society is stratified, and there's insiders and the masses and, you know, the high priests of these kinds of knowledge who are the custodians of it, so to speak, aren't publishing pamphlets and standing on street corners. But mass public access to insider information is precluded in a society, particularly in this era, a society that's obsessed with secrecy. You know, there was a famous series, I think it was the Washington Post, that ran a series entitled Top Secret America. And this was characterizing the state of the nation in which, you know, during a period of severe unemployment, government-sponsored employment had all shifted into massing up the intelligence agencies, in which at that time they cited 750,000 people employed in these various agencies such as the NSA, which, you know, ostensibly are engaged in ongoing surveillance activities of the rest of the population. So we live in a culture of surveillance and secrecy. And therefore, these hot potatoes, these lightning rod issues like contact with extraterrestrial civilizations and so on, are precluded from public access unless it is lensed through a filter that informs us about maybe agendas related to alien invasions, you know, evil aliens, You know, we're all going to be abducted soon, so we better ramp up the homeland security and, you know, keep our neighborhood safe. This kind of profile is typically how those issues are characterized. It's hard to find films, for example, that share a positive perspective on questions of contact with other beings from other civilizations. You know, James, I can't tell you anything new about history, but if we look at the way that North America was colonized by European settlers, we understand that the dehumanization of the indigenous people played a role in that. And this colonial empires will instruct their citizens that the peoples of the nations that they intend to invade are not actually human. They're subhuman as a pretext to committing mass crimes against humanity and genocides. And so the dehumanization or the de-spiritualization, you know, taking the soul out of the ET, so to speak, through propaganda means, is one way to prepare us as a society to wage war on perhaps our brothers and sisters from other dimensions, other planets, and it's a worrying trend. So there's a great need for fostering and cultivating a positive oriented culture where we have the self confidence within ourselves that we can look out into the world and to the new dimensions of living in this world, without the need to diminish the honor or the humanity or the consciousness of other beings who are here with us. When we can approach life, you know, from a place of where we are established within our hearts and within, you know, a deep sense of self-knowing, then we are able to interact with the world in a more benign way. Now, some people may say, well, gosh, you know, if we don't keep our powder dry, you know, and we don't keep looking over our shoulders and keep the surveillance going, they're going to invade us at any moment. You know, we're at risk of losing everything. You know, all this talk about peace is disturbing. But I say that we've gone so far in a wrong-sided direction now. We could possibly become more militarized or more war-ready or more bloodthirsty than we are now, I would say. And there's a need to back down from some of that in order to perpetuate that we can have any kind of a future as a human society. There's no human society that can go on forever on this burnout kind of a course into constant war.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've already been invaded, you know, and everybody's going, we're going to lose our freedom. That's pretty much toast, you know. And, you know, we're going to lose our rights and our constitution. That's toast, you know. It's like, so, you know, I always think. Yeah, you know, I always talk about it, even in counseling work. I go, what are you afraid of that you're not already creating? And maybe it's time to create something different. But you know, the whole thing is you know, Einstein talks about that. You know, I can't remember what he said, but something about war. But I know he was talking about, you know, didn't know what kind of weapons World War III was going to be fought with, but World War IV would be sticks and stones.
Yeah, right.
But, there's another one about something about, you know, trying to prepare for war and peace at the same time. It's kind of crazy, but I can't remember the exact quote. I'll have to get that one out.
But, well, you know, guns and butter, right?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's kind of insane. I've just seen this over and over again. It's like everything is so backwards, and I don't want to beat this. It's like beating a dead horse, but everything is backwards. You know, the Department of Defense is the Department of Offense. The Environmental, you know, Protection Agency has sold us down the river. You know, the FDA, everything is there to support the corporations, which are totally poisoning us and dumbing us down and everything else. So, I mean, all these things are totally backwards right now. And that was a prophecy, you know, Ezekiel brought through back in the 82. He said, all of your agencies are going to be doing the opposite of what they're created to do. And we are seeing that right now. But, you know, one thing about intelligence, whether it be military intelligence or whatever, my question is, how intelligent is it to fire upon a ship with beings that are either coming, you know, through the dimensions to come here, or they're transversing light years to get here, and we're going to shoot at them with our technology or whatever back engineered thing we've mustered. I'm just trying to figure out how intelligent is that.
Yeah, it seems like we're operating sort of from an animal level of psychology rather than some kind of a wisdom guided perspective. Not being a member of any military service, I can't really speak for the decision-making processes that go on in those institutions. But, of course, they have the majority of the weapons. And it's not uncommon that we will encounter stories or testimony from witnesses and civilian, you know, members of the public. I have heard reports from the Mount Shasta area about a missile pursuing a UFO in flight over the I-5 highway that was seen by a number of people, and that there was some kind of intervention where the missile was sidetracked to crash into the side of the mountain, and the ETs went off to do their business. Armed response, our willingness, in other words, to mount an armed response to any perceived change in some kind of status quo is it's not scientific. You know, it's not in the interests of the advancement of education. It's about maintaining a lockdown, and really, to stretch it, or extrapolate to an extreme, it's really about keeping us in a state of ignorance. I mean, if someone showed up with an encyclopedia back in the day, an encyclopedia salesman might show up at your front door with some books with some stuff in them that you may never have read. And instead of checking out the books, we're talking about pulling the guns out. It's like, what's the relationship between those ideas? We've reached. It's part of this extreme, polarization of society that we've reached this apex or deep depression of, the furthest point of corruption. Again, to use strong language, and we're condemned by it. At the same time, we've become so stonewalled that our thought processes are stifled, and our sense of innovation, which will guide us into the future, the solution creation ability, is being beaten out of us by enforcing a culture of suppression. So these are great challenges, and it's up to the wisdom keepers of our times, the sensitives and the insightful people, the thoughtful people of our times, to try to hold the fire through these storms and not let those flames of insight go out to make sure that they're continued to pass to future generations. Is part of the perpetuation of humanity. If we misuse what's been given to us, and we've been given so much, particularly here in the West, we've been given so much. If we misuse it, of course, it'll all be taken away from us.
Exactly. And that goes on any level, too. I see, any kind of misuse of your energies or frequencies right now, it's almost having instant karma. And, some big lessons coming around with that. And I've seen over and over again it's a long story. I don't want to go into the whole Archon network and what that's all about and the extreme misuse of consciousness and energy and, to suppress or manipulate or control. That is all going to be coming down here because it's not frequency specific to where the Earth is going. So all of this cover up and the suppression and the steering of information, down these rat holes and compartmentalizing them again, it is all going to blow up. And I'm seeing now that it is. It's all starting to be exposed. And there's crazy stuff on the internet right now. I'm seeing all kinds of, reptilian beings, people decloaking. It's crazy stuff where it's being captured on video over and over again. And I think as the veils come down and the more energy comes in, it is that nothing's going to be hidden.
People's true character, in other words, as we approach perhaps a crisis point in society, the true character of individuals is emerging as a process of nature, as a process of natural selection. People's innermost thoughts and feelings are coming to the surface. What was secret in the past is now coming to the surface. And our sense, for some of us, perhaps this is an awakening and even a shock. And for others who are perhaps more reflective, it's a sense of the inevitable. And maybe, we foresaw some of these changes, like you were saying before in your book, you had written about social transformation. Mm-hmm. And you had charted a course in life to position yourself in a way where you could help to steer the most people through. Well, when we're in a crisis, it's very difficult to think clearly, and to have any kind of good planning. The worst time to try to get your act together is in the middle of a crisis. It's better to have some. So if people, in other words, are in need of direction, those who were able to foresee and to plan are better positioned to help steer that population to success. Because left to our own, you know, madness will prevail, chaos will prevail in a time of severe crisis.
Yeah, this matrix that we're in now, this grid that we're in right now, it's very few people can see through it and see through to all the manipulations and the different frequencies that are playing out, you know, with these energies and actually see through to the patterns, you know, that we're all carrying within ourselves that are coming up and expressing, you know, to be healed. But, you know, it's a good thing. There's so much. I mean, we're getting slammed with one gamma ray burst after another. Solar flares, the PK index is off the charts. Major aurora borealis going on up here at the ranch right now. Mm-hmm. There's so much energy coming into the planet right now. It's a no-brainer. You know, whenever you have a system and you introduce a lot of energy into it, everything of a lower frequency is going to come up. And so, you know, we just can't hold on to the old patterns, the old wounds and traumas and the old systems and the old way of doing things. And I'm seeing now is that all of these programs are coming up to the surface to be looked at and you know, are being exposed. And they can't maintain themselves, you know, like, you know, Monsanto and all these other things that have been doing extreme harm on the planet are now all being exposed for what they are. The banksters are being exposed for who they are. All the cover-ups are being uncovered. We're in the apocalypse, which is the great uncovering, and we're in the middle of it right now.
Yeah, so this business of healing, you know, on a collective scale, the collective body is healing, the collective consciousness is healing. Part of that process is about letting go, is about relinquishing our need to hang on to the past or the way things used to be or our expectations, and to be able to embrace the real and the new. You know, life is constantly changing. The seasons are changing. The times are changing. People are having birthdays. If we want to be a full participant in the present, in other words, we can't be harboring whatever resentments, misgivings about the past. We can't live for that past. To be present and available to live today and to be vibrant and alive, we're going to have to let go. And as a society, this could be systemic change, political systems, economic systems. We have to be prepared to expect that. You know, the way things were being done in the 1950s isn't the way it's going to be done in the 2030s. So let's prepare ourselves for the new and let's be available for different possibilities. I'm not trying to dictate the terms of change so much as to agree with you in saying that change is coming. You know, do you want to get on and have a great ride? Like, be ready to get latch on and ride with the change.
Yeah. Yeah, too. And I'm seeing, you know, it's as you wish. You know, the source is just pumping it up and the energy's coming in and we're aligning with galactic plane and we're getting bombarded, as I said, with cosmic rays, gamma rays, magnetic energies. All of these things are just pumping up. And I'm seeing that everything of a lower frequency, you know, the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, the old empires that are based on greed and separation, you know, everything that doesn't align with unity consciousness, you know, the me programs, you know, are going aside, you know? And so the ego is just, or I should say the alter ego, the ego that's been wounded or traumatized, whatever, is just getting slammed again and again, as well as the old program, you know, the old social consciousness program, because what I'm seeing is a whole new grid is coming in and the old grid is collapsing. And it just has to do with frequencies and energies and an evolutionary period where we are taking a quantum leap, you know, in consciousness and energy and evolution. And nothing personal, but, you know, the old program just doesn't work anymore and it will not work, you know, in the future.
Well, yeah. And you know, but to be fair, it is personal when it comes down to the number of lost jobs that some people expect will never be replaced in North America. Yeah. The jobs that have gone overseas aren't coming back in our lifetime. Are we prepared for a future that looks like that, where employment and making a living and feeding our families, it takes on an entirely different character? The strategies for living and succeeding in a society that has changed radically, people are challenged. I think today people are challenged to pioneer and try something different. for goodness sakes, you know, economic pressure makes people do all kinds of crazy things. Hopefully, we're going to see the birth of some innovation. We'll see some new trailblazers who will come up with working opportunities that will be useful for many people. Now, when we think about currency changes, for example, a popular alternative currency that people are talking about online is called a Bitcoin. I don't know if you've looked into that, James.
Yeah, I have, and barter too. I mean, we do a lot of barter up here. Mm. And I'm seeing, like you're saying, we have to create a whole new paradigm, a whole new world. And because we haven't been enslaved through dependency, and there is manufactured lack out there, and there's a reason for it, and until we find the source of it and realize how unnatural it is and get back into a natural way of living, we aren't going to be experiencing the abundance of nature, you know, or the abundance of love and joy and bliss that's within us. And until we get away from that external program that's been, you know, pushed upon us through the Archon network and the social consciousness and all that stuff, we're going to continue down the same road. But I see that whole program right now is crashing. It's just falling apart.
Yeah, the programs that may have served populations in the past are no longer reliable, and institutions that were intended to serve or had sworn oaths to serve in the past are no longer reliable. And this is, you know, without putting more pressure on the wound, you know, people need to have, it's a natural social need for people to have trust in institutions. Yeah. The police are entrusted to help maintain safe neighborhoods, for example. And if the public loses faith in the police due to perceptions of misconduct, it's bad all around. Because if there's no one fulfilling that role in a time of need, if there's no fire department who'll come and put out the fire on your house, and there's no institutions that have put in place to make up for that, then a lot of houses are going to burn down. So it's disastrous all around. You know, without proper steering, I think that part of the problem, and this, you know, this is my more radical side, is simply that the psychology in leadership is not really developed in the most benign ways. That there's too much emphasis on, and it's in our face. There's too much sadistic tendency. There's too much bloodlust that's being satisfied at the expense of all these kind of more humanist agendas. Not to say that there aren't benefactors in all different levels of society who either give of their time, skills, or resources, but there's not enough of a critical mass to change the nature of you know, our public profile in North America. You know, it's great shame upon Canada and the United States that we're still involved in torture and gitmos and Abu Ghraibs. It's a great shame upon us and all our peoples. And this is an indication that there's a fundamental change of mind that has to occur. And if in fact people who have been entrusted with the power to make decisions about this don't get on the program and get back to realignment, get back to truth, you know, get back to cosmic selfhood and all of these healing and integrative wavelengths, then you know, there is no future. The dinosaurs are no longer with us, except for the pterodactyls flying over the ranch.
Yeah.
And neither will these sort of, you know, these old ways. Every era has its calls upon us to innovate and to adapt, and so adapting for the new will include a departure from these old poisonous means, you know, from distributing disease-ridden blankets to the indigenous people, to spraying Agent Orange all over the forests, or exposing public populations to chemical testing, you know, while they sleep, you know. The nefarious programs that are done on the public budget really have no future. There is no future. When we condemn everyone around us to die, we find that death comes knocking sooner on our door than it does on the collective. So,
yeah, it seems like when you go against nature or you go against life, you end up losing yours or diminishing your own life. And I thought it was interesting one day I was talking to this guy. And I won't say what agency he was with, you know, and he said something that was really funny. He said, and I said, so So you're here to protect and serve and make sure that you're here to protect my rights and my safety and everything else. And he goes, hell no, I work for a corporation. You know, he goes, even though you're paying me, I don't work for you. You know? Mm-hmm. And I go, you know, that's an eye opener. And that is the reality of things, is that almost all of our institutions and agencies that are supposed to be working for us don't. And until we wake up to that fact, that their first priority is to preserve the status quo and the corporations. And until we figure that one out, it's going to continue. But that's the big mindset that's happening right now, is people are going, wait a second, I'm paying you. You took an oath. You work for me. You don't work for them. I'm going to hold you to that oath, and we're going to start cleaning up the consciousness here and establish our rights, you know, which are already there. We just need to stand up for them, and we need to get back on track, and we can turn this planet around. And that's what I see. You know, heck with all this other nonsense going on there. There is universal law, and it doesn't matter how many statutes and other programs we write. It doesn't matter. You know, it's like, universal law is very basic, and whenever we go against it, we create karma, and the karma is being accelerated right now at an exponential rate. So you either figure it out and get with the program, or it, you know, this shift that we're going through is just going to, you know, basically beat the crap out of you just with action reaction or karma.
So I think this is an ancient story. You know, at the time of the worst crisis, all the things, all the terrible powers, you know, that we thought were going to condemn us to, you know, to catastrophe, it turns out that the universe has always got the extra cards, you know, the ancient cards that will be played, that will trump anything, you know, any terrible thing that we can come up with, you know, any horrible program or implementation, or, you know, creating a horrible police state, or, you know, going and invading and trying to destroy our neighbors. That will be trumped. The universe plays this way, and this is like the story of the Gita, you know, when Krishna and Arjuna are on the battlefield, and Arjuna says, I don't want to go and fight with my uncles, I want to go home. And Krishna says, no, stick around, because I got bigger plans, and he gives him a few hints about what's coming up. It turns out that Arjuna has the trump card, but you wouldn't be able to tell, you know, without having that sort of farsighted vision. If you looked at what was obvious, if you looked at just the materialism of it all, you'd think, oh, you know, we're outnumbered, we're doomed. But the universe has these cards that are bigger, and this is one of the points of going through hard times, is the awakening to, and the indelible impression that's left by the greatness of what gave us life. You know, what's beyond our comprehension is greater than everything, and when we become reestablishing ourselves in that, and remembering that, and passing that on to those who come after us, you know, it seems to be, you know, from literary sources, historic sources, and for some people from personal experience, it seems to be how these things go through. In the face of the worst catastrophe, we find within ourselves the great resources, and when we bring them into play through personal courage and motivation, you know, we assume some responsibility for our part, that things change in profound and unimaginable ways. We go from, you know, from night to day, so to speak. We go from near catastrophe to moving on to a paradise. And I think ultimately we all want a paradise, and not just for one person or two people, but that all of us will share it together.
Exactly. You know, there's an old saying, man plans and God laughs, you know. And I see these these nefarious plans that are in place right now. You know, there's nature, which is the whole card, which is playing out, you know, with all the changes and earth change and everything else. And then there's also the alignment with galactic plane and this huge influx of higher consciousness and energy that's coming in. So a lot of these plans that, you know, nefarious plans that are on the books that they're trying to pull off right now are just not going to work. And the only thing they're going to gain is more karma and an acceleration of that karma. And, you know, they'll play a hand in their own demise. And that's what I'm seeing right now on an individual level and a collective level. In everything that we do, we need to really be very clear on how this affects others. Is this highest and best good for humanity and the earth? You know, is this going to be creating karma? you know, is this love? You know, is this really coming from the heart? And is this love? And is this aligned with soul purpose? You know, or is this coming from another area, you know, another aspect of ourselves that might need healing or clearing? And that's what I'm seeing in the big picture right now. I'm talking to 5 or 6 top, you know, healers and people that are out there doing clearing work and healing work, counseling work. They said they're inundated right now with people in crisis and people, you know, with having one train wreck after another and relationships splitting and everything just surfacing, you know, and it's just been one big mess after another, you know, and they're running around, you know, putting out fires, doing damage control. And I know that's what I've been doing in my life too. It's just been unbelievable. You know, the counseling work is off the scale right now. And wherever I go, I won't even go into it. Something happened tonight, but I can't even talk about it. But a good case is down in Mexico. I go down to Mexico and I go, God, I just need a break. You know, I need to just have some time, you know, to myself, recharge, build up my batteries. And the first day I get there, you know, I go for a walk on the beach and I go, oh man, I can finally chill out and relax. And this guy drowns right in front of me, you know? So we're pulling this guy in, he's all blue, you know, and we're working on him and I'm doing all the energy work I can. And he comes out of it and I go, God, I'd like to talk to him later, 'cause I'm sure he had an awesome near death experience similar to mine. But, you know, and then I go out and then 2 days later, another guy, you know, is, you know, has to be pulled in. So we're pulling him in. So, and then, you know, there's all these crises happening around me while I'm down there at the beach, you know? So it's just like, you know, lately I've just seen it's like, it's never ending and it's nonstop. And a lot of the light workers are just working overtime right now. And you know, kudos to them, you know, give yourself a good pat on the back. And I think, I don't know how soon this is all going to end, but I've been getting some information on high that a lot of the problem children that are here in the unseen are being in the process of being removed right now. And so things are going to get a little easier. You know, we're going to be basically just dealing with our own issues and wounds and traumas and patterns without so much of the external, interference, you might say, coming from, you know, maybe some of the regenerate ETs and demonic energies or gray, whatever you want to call them, the Archon network, a lot of that's being cleared up. So it's going to be a lot easier, but we still have to do our own work and clean up our own closet, you know, and release the past and you know, clean up any messes we've made.
So you're being called upon to help pull the people who are drowning out of the water, so to speak. I think it's very symbolic, James, not only because it ties into your personal history of, you know, your breakthrough experience in a near-death drowning, but you know, calling upon you as a healer, you're standing on the shores of life, so to speak, helping the people who are struggling in the water.
Yeah, and I'm about ready to get a whole bunch of little life rafts, you know, and just toss them out there and say you're on your own, because it is just overwhelming. And we're moving into a place of personal responsibility, basically. And you know, we can't keep expecting external saviors to come and do our work for us, or, you know, and it is, we're in that process right now where we've got to buck up and pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and, you know, be accountable and responsible for what we're creating, you know, the people and events we create in our lives and gain the wisdom from it and move on, because we don't have the luxury anymore, to fool around, you know, with all, you know, the unhealed and the low frequency mess, because the higher frequencies are coming in so strong, you know, we're going to have to really learn some very advanced tools and techniques to heal and surrender and release the past if we're going to, you know, stay on this earth ship and where she's going.
So this is a time when people need to be cultivating some educational resources, to be reading good books and getting in touch with good teachers and getting together with tools that are going to be applicable and helpful in their communities, to help steer people, you know, in a positive direction, even if we're coming to a time of crisis. You know, I took a course of action in the late 1990s to study human speech, to learn about unconscious dimensions of speech and how those unconscious dimensions could be assisting people in healing and recovery. And I spent a lot of time in clinical work and was very successful in reaching the public with that work as well. And I continue to work in this counseling area. It's not as intense a focus as it has been in previous years, but I prepared myself, in other words, to be available to help individuals who were wrestling with challenges, you know, the demons of their own lives, so to speak. And I think that was in line with what we're talking about tonight, is, you know, about foreseeing the needs of the future and positioning ourselves to be there, you know, to be able to play a constructive part in that future. I think I was anticipating some of that. I had a strong feeling that I needed to help people on a grassroots level, and I undertook a course of study, these speech studies. That's why my website is called yourinnervoice.com, because I'm helping people to get in touch with that inner voice in a few different ways. But, you know, talk about educational opportunities, of course, the upcoming transformation celebration at the ranch is going to be a great place for people to network and to share and to learn about new ideas from the different speakers. I know there'll be a number of workshops. I'm going to be leading a workshop, and I'd like, if I can, just to talk about that while I'm sure. with you for a moment.
Yeah,
you know, one of the areas of interest that I've been exploring in recent years, as we mentioned earlier on the show, is related to optics and night vision. And so I became aligned with a couple of manufacturers that I felt had produced some excellent products, particularly for infrared observation and astronomical type observation. One of the vendors, Pulsar, I've been using their Recon X550 for a number of years now at the ranch and other locations. It had excellent results. It's a really great device in the digital night vision world that can be people can travel with it internationally without any trouble at the border, and it has great sensitivity. We can see very far and a lot of faint objects. Using it side by side with you, James, I sometimes felt like I had, you know, the best of both worlds. Not only did I have a great sky watching partner in you, but you have your excellent Gen 3 equipment as well. So the Pulsar Recon is, you know, for the serious sky watcher on a budget, is a superb instrument, and that is one of the devices I've been placing units with clients all over the world. I have people using them in Australia, Japan, Central America, U.S., Canada. It's been very successful, and so this is one of the niche areas I've entered into. But at the ranch, not only will I have my Pulsar scope with me, I'll be bringing a new, very affordable entry-level scope. It's from a company called Firefield. It's a model. It's called the Envader, with a lot of really neat little features. And this scope is probably better, more for like daylight infrared UFOs. You know how you see those videos, James, the infrared UFOs that you can't see with the naked eye during daytime?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This scope is a superb daylight scope for infrared as well as color viewing. It has digital zoom, which is a lot of fun, it's just a push button zoom, and you can zoom from, you know, 3, 6, and 9 times at the push of a button. I think that's a really cool feature, and I'm enjoying my eval unit that I just got last week. It's something that runs off of AA batteries. Again, it's something that will probably be useful daylight observation or in the field when we want to look at the orbs and the other entities that come around from time to time in the trees and on the grass. We've been, you know, enjoying that so much at the ranch in previous years. This will be a device that's got a superb lamp on it, so it creates a lot of light for viewing. You get a full frame. This device will be very good in the field for that as well. It's not really a starlight scope. You can see some stars, but I think it'll take a long time to, you know, unless you have really big UFOs coming by, it'd be hard to see them. You probably, the light on the mountain phenomena, this scope can do it. If a person really wants to do the celestial observation on a budget, they'll need to look at the Pulsar Recon, like the X550 model that I use. But I'm going to be bringing these Firefield scopes to the ranch, and I'm going to be leading a workshop, which is for introduction to digital night vision. The basics of how to operate your scope, the basics of sky watching, the basis of setting intention. We'll do a little meditation, you know, create a positive vibration to get everyone started on a good path with this type of equipment. And I'll be giving away, as a door prize, there'll be a lucky winner who will get a Firefield Envader digital night vision scope during the workshop. So I'm hoping that people who are enthusiastic about learning about using these technologies, not only for their material benefits, but also the inner developmental side, how, in other words, seeing in the dark, so to speak, is a means of awakening our own inner clairvoyance and intuition and getting on the wavelengths where people, great sky watchers and contactees like yourself, James, enjoy the telepathic and the predictive interactions that help you to anticipate when things are going to happen. All those special things that, you know, people can develop and cultivate. Night vision could be an entry point into cultivating those inner dimensions. I'm not making this up, folks. So I'll be bringing some scopes with me. I'll be leading a workshop on getting started with night vision. And I'll be available to consult. I will have a high-end digital celestial star scope, this Pulsar Recon X550, and these entry-level Firefield Envaders with me. So I'm really hoping that enthusiasts for this type of, you know, science of observation, this science of seeing into other wavelengths, will join and participate and engage with some of these new products and ideas.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. You know, a lot of people don't realize, but a lot of the neuroscientists and physicists and things realize that you actually see with your brain, and your eyes are picking up billions of bits of information, but your brain is choosing, you know, how much of that is useful or what's, you know, it's according to your belief system. So when people say, you know, I'll believe it when I see it, they're actually doing things backwards. You know, a lot of times you have to believe it before you can see it, just because of the way the brain operates. But when you look through this night vision and this other stuff, all of a sudden you go, wow, you know, here's a mechanical device that's allowing me to see things that I didn't even know were there. And once your brain knows they're there, it goes, wait a second, if these things are all here, why can't I see it? And the next thing you know, you're seeing it, because now you know it's a reality, the things exist. And the next thing, you're seeing orbs and other dimensional beings and all of these things happening around you that you didn't even know were there before.
As you say, you know, through conditioning and some experience with a piece of equipment, the brain becomes entrained and enabled once we realize, as you said, that a lot of what's happening is really happening on the inside. A lot of perception and so on, sensing is internal. Then we become empowered through that. So it's an entrainment exercise, so to speak. It's an educational tool, not only teaching us about the different spectra of light that, you know, are in the universe and in the electromagnetic spectrum, mm-hmm. but ultimately the ultimate idea for someone like myself who spent, you know, decades meditating intensively, it's about a return back to the, you know, the inner source of perception, that what is perception, what is knowing, and that ultimately that lies within us. This is an exercise, so to speak, in getting in touch with that. And people do sustain that. The videographers that I've worked with, many of them have stories about contact where they have precognitive dreams, as well as other, you know, phenomena like out-of-body experiences and all that exotic stuff. But the point being is this. Inner dimensions of contact, I'm convinced from experience that they are very real. Even the folks from the 1950s who were whose reputations were layered with, you know, ridicule and debunking and skepticism, the George Adamskys, these folks had something to say about telepathic contact with the ETs.
Mm-hmm. And they're documenting it too. You know, we had that PIP technology here was with what was his name? Oilfield. I think it's Harold Oilfield. I'm probably saying his name wrong. But he filmed, you know, our sessions, the transpersonal release sessions. And you can see this golden energy like a tornado come into the room. And all of a sudden, everybody's bodies pixelate out, turn white like light or pink energy if Mary's coming in or one of the other beings are coming in. You know, there's a huge energy signature that happens, and it holds people in this frequency, the vibration, where they can heal things very quickly and gracefully. And, you know, this is all very well documented, and the technology is there now to see it. And there's another technology I saw that was amazing where they took pictures of this guy who was actually being manipulated and influenced. And you could see these like tall grays or like reptilian energies and other strange energies in his field when they used this certain technology. And the guy was being troubled and doing a lot of things that weren't very loving, you know, they were totally out of character. And he didn't even realize it wasn't even him anymore, he didn't even know what he was doing. And you know, he couldn't believe what he did, you know, afterwards when it was explained to him. And he was always defending himself and you know, he didn't really realize what was going on until he saw this special technology and he saw the beings inside his field manipulating him. So And that, what I always say, is technology is a failure of spirituality because if we were adept, we could see these things very easily and we'd be aware of these energies playing out. But because we haven't figured it out yet, technology, again, can take us to a point where we can see these different fields of energy and what's at play. And then we can, once we realize we can see them ourselves and feel and sense them, then we just need the tools on how to heal them and keep our own energies clear.
the technology's become a starting point for, as you said, for those further explorations. We can go the distance on the powers of our minds alone, but the springboard, a starting point, can be a device. So, you know, with Father's Day coming up, James, I invite listeners to get in touch with me if they think Dad would like the gift of night vision. I have different means to help satisfy that with the Invaders, with the Pulsars. And I ask people to write to me at optics@yourinnervoice.com, which is the address I used just for those consultations about night vision, optics@yourinnervoice.com. Father's Day is coming up. You know, we're moving quickly into summer. People are thinking about camping this year. They're thinking about the wildlife that comes around on the property, like all those coyotes that we hear on the ranch and all the other, you know, interesting beings that are there. People want to see the deer. They want to see the elk. They want to see the moose while they're camping. They want to see their way along the trail. These devices are superb for this, and they're fun. You know, they're a lot of fun to use. Even the little Invader, you know, maybe it's not a great star scope, but it sure is fun to use that digital zoom, James.
And, you know, people will be having a wonderful demonstration of all that technology and how to use it, you know, with your talk and your workshop here at the ranch. And I have to say, when everybody's asking me about something, you know, some kind of technology, what's the best technology, how to film UFOs and everything else, I always shoot them your direction, you know, because they're asking me all these details, and I go, well, you know me, I'm not a techno guy.
To me, you're this great athlete of sky watching and contact. And I know for a fact, and I've seen it over and over, and it's my personal experience, that anyone who goes on the field and hangs out with you long enough, James, is going to see something. Even if by their own powers, they're totally in the dark, they can't see anything, they just hang out with you and you're pointing the way, and it's like they're seeing it and something's happening there. So you are you're an Olympic gold medal athlete of this type of, you know, activity. I can't think of somebody who you're a go-to person. If a person, you know, wanted to learn just by osmosis, you know, by being around you and sharing time with you, you are a leader in this area. And, you know, props to you. You may not, you know, the how-to of all of it, you know, isn't necessary, you know, to give a great performance. You don't necessarily have to read a book about it or write a book about what you're doing, you know, that kind of left-brained approach. You're extremely facile, and that facility is contagious. The people who hang out with you long enough, they spend time with you, the facility becomes strong within them too. So never underestimate your role in helping others to understand these things, even if it's, you know, you're doing it your way. It doesn't have to be on their terms. They're getting a benefit just by hanging with you.
Yeah, definitely. I don't do it on their terms. You know, if they're not going to come at it with a light heart, you know, an open mind, a loving heart, and pure intent, I really don't have time for it. And I'll play around a little bit with the debunkers and mess around with them, but I really don't have time for it. I'm really here to teach those who really want to know and have their own experience and definitely not worship me, you know, that this is an inner thing for them, you know, and I'm just, you know, a way shower. I'm helping them have their own experience. And that's what it's so important right now is that, you know, we were talking about earlier, this external program is so deep that when are we going to start going on an internal program and make our own personal, you know, God, creator, spirit connection and realize we are multidimensional beings and, you know, we live on a vibration continuum and we can go all the way to the source, you know, if we just expand our consciousness. And that's what I'm more about is empowering people to have their own experience and expanding consciousness and realize that the universe is vast, it's multidimensional, and, you know, as Buddha said, you know, that the whole universe resides within. You know, all we need to do is go within and expand.
Yeah, bring the great. You know, all of us have this desire for contact with greatness in our lifetimes, and let's bring that more than just, you know, we all want to hang out together, but, you know, let's hang out together and be great. Let's be magnificent, you know, with the opportunity that we have. Let's not forget our cosmic potential. Let's manifest it, and we will all benefit from that. I spent a lot of time in music, James, as a young person. I played in all kinds of bands and had all kinds of teachers that I got to study under and performance opportunities, all kinds of stuff. You know, we were all, you know, it was like sports for us young people, and we were always egging each other on to a greater and greater performance. This was part of the dynamic, you know. It's like that because, you know, not only would that person who gave the killer performance sound awesome, but I would benefit from getting to hear it, you know. So it was like, it really worked both ways. They got to advance, and I got to advance too. That's the way to think about it.
And that's the way I feel. You know, people say, you know, what's your greatest dream? You know, and I said that I'm put out of a job. You know, that everybody awakens and heals, and I'm no longer working. That's my deal, and I want them to go far beyond, you know, me. You know, and a lot of these kids are already there. You know, they're coming in locked and loaded. But we're coming up to the end of the hour here, so we just got a short minute left. So what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
My toll-free number, North America-wide, call me 1-888-453-0751, 1-888-453-0751, or visit my website, yourinnervoice.com. And James, I can't say again how much I'm looking forward to spending time with you again on the land. Year after year, I've had incredible experiences, and I really have a sense that there's more great energy coming in this year, and I want to be a part of that with you.
Great. Yeah, I'm so looking forward to this myself. Well, again, I can't thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll see you on June 28th.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
All right. And, you know, if you want any more information on that, send an email to ecetireservations@gmail.com. That's ecetireservations@gmail.com. If you want to find more about any gatherings or workshops or classes or any of the speaking events that are upcoming. And also, too, stay tuned because I'm going to be interviewed on the next show. So anyway, have a great evening. This is James Gillen signing off. Watch the skies.